Hello, and welcome to A Marvellous Lunch Break. We're back for a WandaVision special, and just like Westview, everything here is chaotic and upside down. So I, Agent Martin Carter, am in the hosting chair today. Joining me as always, Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Well, bad. I'm good. It's been some crazy times. Just like Wanda, what is up, what is down? But life is pretty good.
Good. And here's the man who could really benefit from his own 1950s laughter track, so we know just when the punchline's coming. It's Mr. Daniel Preston.
Hello.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
It's not nice being on the end of a quip, is it?
I don't mind it. I feel a little bit daft because I don't think I really understood it, and I'm not sure whether that is about you or me.
Right.
I understood it, Martin. It was a sick burn.
Thank you very much.
It's fine. Are you saying that my jokes don't have impact?
Well, that's the audience.
Okay, fine.
And speaking of the audience, hello if you are returning for more. Welcome back. We've got some shout-outs in a second, so if you have messages since you've been away, we will read those out. And if you are new, welcome. This is a special, and it's a safe place for all Marvel fans to come and chat WandaVision and other things as well. Special thanks to Timmy Sean for our amazing Agatha All Along introduction.
Oh, yeah.
If you've listened to our other episodes.
The theme of the century, right?
Amazing.
It's just on loop in my head constantly. that was from Timmy Sean, a very, very friendly guy. He put his cover on YouTube. It's had 200,000 views already. So you can find him, just search Timmy Sean on YouTube or Instagram, and you can listen to it on repeat like I have been constantly. So, Daniel, I cannot remember anything else that you say in your introductions, but I think I've covered it apart from, say, the spoilers. Do you say anything else?
Remember to like, share, subscribe. Yep.
You can find us on Instagram at...
Marvelous Lunch Break.
Thank you. So our last episode was in June 2020. So it has been a while. We are in the UK. We are still in lockdown, but it is slowly coming to an end, thankfully. So I hope wherever you are in the world, you are feeling safe. But how's everyone been? What's everyone been up to since we last met? I don't know if any of us had any major life changes, anything like that.
I'm pivoting from the Marvel Cinematic Universe to the Hamilton Cinematic Universe. Pretty much that has just been on repeat for me since maybe early December. And it's now slowly becoming part of, depends on your concept of time, but it's becoming part of my identity now that I pretty much only watch and listen to Hamilton the musical and its soundtrack.
I could only get through the first act. It made me feel sick. There was much noise.
Oh, Martin, but it's so spectacular. We've only watched it once in this house. We watched it as soon as it came out in July. It well and truly effed our Spotify wrap-up algorithm at the end of the year. It was just all Hamilton songs.
Oh, yeah.
So, always good to plug that. Love it. I've seen it live as well. It's incredible.
I can't wait. I tell you what, I know a lot of people will be doing this, but as soon as, you know, you can book to go see, you can book, but as soon as you can actually book and, you know, probably have a good chance of going and seeing it, I'll be there. That is, I'm just in.
I didn't realise this had become a musical podcast.
The Hamilton podcast.
Anna, any life updates?
Well, as it happens, since the last time we recorded, I've had a baby. My own little Marvel has come into the world. Isaac Philip Harrison.
Tony Stark. Oh, I was going to make a joke. About your name.
Well, you know, you say that, but like there was a little while where we were thinking about what names to give him, and you know, in classic superhero trope, so often you have like an alliterative, like name, you know, Peter Parker, like all the names that have like the first surname or first letter in the first name and the surname. And unfortunately with Harrison, there just wasn't a whole lot of options. Mm. Like, you know, Harry Harrison, Henry Harrison.
Oh, Harry Harrison is great. That's definitely...
Too close to Harry. The only Harry in the MCU that I think of is Harry Osborn, right?
Right. Yeah, see, exactly. And we wouldn't want to give him a villainous name. Yeah. And, you know, with Isaac Philip Harrison, this ties nicely to the Hamilton side of things. Thank you, Dan. We did spend the first... like month of his life, just sort of softly singing to ourselves, Isaac Philip Harrison. Nice. He hasn't done, you know, it works really well with the Hamilton intro.
Great, so, love it.
So we're going to get blacklisted for having a Marvel ripoff theme right. tune and a Hamilton sing-along. That's great.
Exactly.
We didn't need this to go live at any point, did we?
But that's been oh, and I moved house in lockdown with a newborn.
Just had a quiet 9 months.
God, yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad to like be delving back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where, you know, crazy shit might be going down, but at least there are certain things that we can know and rely upon and love deeply. So yeah, I'm here for it.
And the only addition in my life is this little guy who you can see on Zoom behind me, asleep, still in the cat. Oh, he's come into my life.
That is a very fancy cat tree.
That's not a cat tree. That is my standing desk. That
is it.
Yeah.
It looks like a cat tree.
It has double the purpose. But Dylan, alongside myself, is overweight, so we're both on a little diet at the moment, and we have to do laps around the flat to lose the weight that we need to lose. So it's going very well. Good. Well, that's us. What about our listeners, Anna? I believe you've got some shout outs, some messages from people who've been in touch since we've been away.
I do, yes. So I'm going to just pull these up. We've had some lovely messages, actually, and a few that came through sort of right after we wrapped up our Spider season, which was our most recent run of MCU in review movies. So we didn't get the chance to read them out, but we've definitely been listening, tried to always reply quickly, but we've got some lovely ones here. So I'm just going to read a couple out that we've got. So like Shia4799 just messaged saying how much she loved the podcast and makes her day a little bit brighter.
Aww.
Listening to our banter, which is so nice. And I, you know, we replied saying thank you. And then she replied asking for season 3 Marvel TV shows. We're going to talk about Disney Plus. And very rudely, we never got back to her. So apologies for that. But I think at that stage, we had absolutely no idea what we were going to be doing, what our lives were going to be like. We were just in turmoil. That was in July. So, yeah. So
she's probably not going to listen ever again. She's like,
no, I know. Don't
bother replying to the messages. She's unsubscribed.
No doubt. She's gone. But if you're out there, we appreciate you and hope you'll come back to us. And then, let's see, in January, we got a message from Kelly again saying that, love the pod, missed us. Hope we were going to improve the audio quality somewhat if lockdown continued. Thanks for that, Kelly.
That's a fair criticism.
It is fair enough. But, you know, we were all doing our best in trying times, which she did acknowledge. I didn't take it as like a snarky, more as like, you know, I enjoy listening to you so much, it would make it even more enjoyable if I could understand you a little bit better, which is a fair point.
Is that the audio quality or just the Northern accent?
Maybe. And she asked the question if we were going to be doing an episode on New Mutants. And I don't know about you guys, but I have not watched it. Lockdown has been hard enough. I didn't feel like I could subject myself to New Mutants.
I've not seen it either.
I don't know if you guys any thoughts about that.
I hovered over it yesterday. For about 3 seconds.
Really?
And then didn't.
Where is it? Where can you watch it?
I think Prime.
Yes.
Amazon Prime.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe I will then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got a Roku stick, which has all the things on, and you can search in the Roku search, and it pulls up things from any app. So, if you've got a similar thing, have a look there.
Yeah, and use code a Marvelous Lunch Break for 10%. No, I'm joking. No one sponsors us.
Well,
no,
actually, it makes the movie 10% shorter.
That's a win right there. And so the long and short answer to that is like, no, as of now, we won't be doing a New Mutants special. My movie watching time at the moment is quite precious, and I can't afford to give hours over to things like that. And then most recently, February 14th, Valentine's Day, we got a lovely message from Elijah, goes by Eli. He's messaged us before, so he's a friend to the show. It's always great hearing from him. And he has said that he misses our voices as well. And he was saying how great WandaVision is, which, oh my God, yes, just wait, we're about to gush all over that, I think. And I hadn't heard this at the time that he messaged me, but he said that Toby had just been confirmed for the next Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So that is some very exciting news. I think we'll definitely be talking a little bit about what we think the future.
I mean, it's still not confirmed, is it? But it's like confirmed. Sort of. It's sort of the best, the worst kept secret at the minute, isn't it? That there's going to be a million people in the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm here for it. But, yep, thrilled that Eli's been messaging again. So, yep, those are all the messages that we've had for now. But as always, please write in and we will read them out. We will try to answer any questions. And who knows, maybe even your messages and questions will shape our future content.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, you will hear us reply to your comments almost a year after you've made them, but nevertheless, we'll get back to you. And then just, yeah, so one other thing that I think we should maybe mention before we jump straight into WandaVision is obviously this is the first time we've got together since the passing of Black Panther, of Chadwick Boseman. And I know we did a Stan Lee special, when Stan Lee passes, obviously we're not going to do that with Black Panther because there's only one. But just thought it was worth kind of mentioning how sad it is, and probably also mentioning that I think the kind of the way that they've approached Black Panther 2 by not trying to replace him, I think is really special and really kind of fitting for him playing that character. But it was very, very sad. I know we all had a little WhatsApp going when we heard the news.
Yeah, I think it was crazy, and of course it came out of nowhere because he'd wanted a lot of privacy around his condition and everything, but I think it just part of it as well goes to show how a lot of these famous people in the MCU is full of like big names now, you know, a lot of them have their private lives and their private issues, and you know he probably will not be the only person in the MCU or in Hollywood that's keeping a secret, you know, issue from everyone, and the fact that they're still, you know, he produced some of the greatest MCU moments throughout all of that, you know, so it's a testament to him, but also, you know, how a lot of these people are real people with real problems, right? But they're still doing this fantastic, you know, movies, and real sad, of course, though. Terrible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was just such an incredible thing he was able to do to sort of step into like the MCU, which already had all these beloved characters and was well established. And he just became iconic, even from like his very, you know, a somewhat limited introduction in Civil War. You know, this was before he got his own movie, and already everyone was like, tell us more about that guy. Like, he just carried that role perfectly. And I totally agree, Martin. I think it's a really special and smart decision not to try to fill those shoes in the same way, because I just don't see how it could be done.
And maybe that's one we'll come on to in a minute then, because I don't know. I'm not sure I'm clear on Marvel's plan. They've said that they're not recasting T'Challa.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We are going to get another Black Panther, I reckon.
I think
the question at the minute is, who is the next Black Panther going to be, really? And that's fitting with the comics, at least.
Yeah, because it was like a mantle that gets passed.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I read was that it's just going to focus on some of the other characters a little bit more in Black Panther 2 before they kind of pass on the baton, as it were. So maybe we'll get more Shuri, some of the other guys maybe will pop up within there, but...
I mean, I'd be here for that. That was such an amazing world. I'm so keen to explore any facet of Wakanda they want to give us. So.
Yeah.
I think I remember the announcement where Chadwick Boseman was like brought out on stage, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who maybe aren't into a certain type of movie, you know, look at you more blockbuster sort of thing, are like, who's this guy? You know, and I remember at the time there was a lot of, you know, he wasn't a big name being drafted into the MCU like, you know, like we've maybe come to expect. But he stepped up and he made that, you know, he made that character just as big, if not bigger, than the other people he was surrounding. It was insane. An insane character development across such a few short movies as well, right? You know, Civil War, and then the two Avengers movies and his own movie. Is a really small amount of screen time compared to a lot of the other MCU characters who've gone on these huge journeys.
Yeah, incredible achievement.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna miss him. Really gonna miss him.
Yeah. So let's pick up the energy slightly with Anna's One Minute Roundup. So if you are a new listener, this is the first time you've ever listened to A Marvelous Lunch Break. We've got a whole three seasons to go back through. But one of our regular features is Anna summarizes the entire plot in 1 minute. Sometimes she wins, sometimes she hard fails. And actually, you know, if we're looking purely on kind of minutes to summarize, this is quite, you know, this is probably the longest, apart from when you did the whole yeah. of the MCU in a minute, this is probably the most you've had to condense in terms of time into 60 seconds.
Yeah, it was not easy. I don't want to big it up too much just yet. I think particularly as we saw in Spider Season, there have been some hardcore fails. So I've never done any kind of like statistical analysis on my success rate, but I'm not even sure I'm cracking the 50% mark at the moment. So, all right. I don't want to psych myself out too much. So who's counting me in? Is it Dan as usual?
I'll go for it.
I've got a timer up, so I don't
have
to.
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah. Sorry. You were steering the ship, Martin. Okay.
So you go. Do I do 3, 2, 1, go, and you go on go?
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
We join our favorite robot witch power couple, Wanda Maximoff and Assumed Dead Vision, as they romp their way through classic Americana TV tropes, produce some super grow twins, recast Pietro Maximoff, and dust off the iconic red leotard and green spandex. But it's not all apple pie and two-minute labor. Not only is Sinister Sword Director looking to tap into Wanda's hexy magic to charge up a robo-warrior made out of Vision's husky corpse, but waxy-nosy next-door neighbor was Agatha all along, who reveals Wanda's domestic bliss is just a large-scale puppet show thanks to Wanda's potentially world-ending chaos magic. Westview residents are in agony, and after dragging her through the saddest life recap ever, Agatha is looking to suck those red sparkles out of Wanda's desiccated corpse, while Vision mind melds with his anemic doppelganger and sends him on his way. Newly powered up, Monica Rambeau saves the twins. Wanda achieves her glow up and the Scarlet Witch comes forth. She locks Agatha up in Agnes and chooses reality, bidding a heartbreaking goodbye to her make-believe family with the hopes they will say hello again. Monica breaks up the Rambeau Woo Darcy trio with a trip to the stars, and we leave Wanda for now at a peaceful lakeside cabin where she can get some reading done.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds like it was under a minute. You know,
it was, and well done for well done for featuring the last episode in more than 60% of the wrap. Did anything else happen in the other seven? So you did it in 54 seconds.
Oh, nice. Had some proper mess ups in there as well. So
yeah, well done. So if you didn't hear any of that, go back and listen to it at half speed. That's what I tend to do.
I will put the. So something I sort of fell out of doing during Spider Season, but I will do now. I'll put the script in our Instagram stories as well. So if you think you can do better,
yeah, send it in. Okay, so let's kick off with the cast. Cheers and boos, please. And Dan, you get to do some cheers and boos because you don't usually do this bit.
So I'm gonna go all in.
As Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch, Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, great. Yep. Top job. Well done.
As Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Bettany.
Brilliant. Bravo. Vision. Wonderful.
As Agnes / Nosy Neighbor, we've got Catherine Han.
Yeah. Magical. Ooh. Magical performance.
Right.
Can't get better than that.
As did you say Rambo or Rambo? Rambo.
I think it's Rambo.
Rambo. As Monica Rambo, we've got Tamaya Paris.
Ow. Wonderful. Yeah. Spot on.
As director Taylor Hayward, you've got Josh Stamberg.
Boo. I mean, I know great performance, right? You know, I don't know the greatest word. Just let's leave it at performance. But I'm booing, really. That character is an asshole.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think like
he tried to shoot the kids.
That came out of nowhere. It's like, why are you shooting a tiny boy? I mean, to be fair, I think in a sea of like some really like meaty, interesting characters, he felt very phase one.
Marvel, yeah, like, yeah, very cookie cutter kind of.
Yeah,
yeah, like won't believe in the magic, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, this order is all over the place. So I'm going to pick a few out. Randall Park is Jimmy Woo. Agent Jimmy Woo.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like for a while they've been trying to like kind of. Get a new like Coulson thing going with like various Marvel characters, but he is crushing it. Yeah. Love it.
The best, my favorite Marvel character. No.
Ooh.
Oh, I mean, you know, that's an old statement, but come on.
Okay.
What a great character.
Yeah, he's good. We've got Kat Dennings as Darcy.
Yes.
Great. Well done, Kat.
We've got Evan Peters as Pietro Maximoff.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. We're obviously going to talk more about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are kind of other ones in the list, which I'm not going to cover unless anybody wants. The other ones I wanted to shout out were Deborah Jo Rupp. I don't know if you remember her as Mrs. Hart. She's kind of like a neighbour. She's quite recognisable. And also,
from the 70s show.
Took me ages to figure out who she was. But Emma Caulfield Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Who's from Buffy?
Anya.
Yeah, and I was like, Yeah, took me ages to figure out where she came from. Have I missed anyone out that you guys wanted to mention, or is that... I mean, there's lots of kind of like peripheral characters in the neighbourhood.
That seems about the size of it, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's jump straight in with the discussion. I say straight in. We've been going for like 20 minutes already. But hit me with your first hot takes on WandaVision.
Oof. Wanda is now the new big bad of the MCU.
Oh. is that it?
There we go. I've had this theory all along, and I think we're starting to see it at the end now. Now, I think big bad is probably the wrong word, but. We've talked about this in Phase 1 or Act 1 or whatever, what we're calling it, Saga 1, so the Infinity Saga. Now we've had confirmation from Kevin Feige that this is the Multiverse Saga, right? But I think we're probably going to see something smaller. We're probably going to see something that's, you know, a saga that goes across 4 or 5 movies and a couple of TV shows, not necessarily 20 movies, whatever. So I think that Wanda, you know, is being set up here really to be an antagonist for a lot of this multiverse saga. We had this, you know, we've been talking with friends and I've had this idea that they referenced heavy in the show. She's never had a superhero name. And actually, the first time we hear the Scarlet Witch name is in a sort of evil context, chaos magic. And I think that they've been saving that name, that Wanda is her good name and Scarlet Witch is her bad name. And I think now we're going to see with her doing the astral, spoilers, that we're seeing her doing the astral projection to do her reading at the end and the conclusion of everything where she doesn't necessarily feel like, not necessarily like people don't need an apology, but just she's not listened to or anything like that. I think we're going to go into Multiverse of Madness. We're going to go into, the Loki series. I don't think she'll show up in that, but we're going to go into these next few series with Wanda being one of the antagonists of this multiverse saga and raising a bit of hell to get her family back, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm just going to interrupt ever so slightly and just say, Dan, your beard is tickling your microphone ever so. If you want to just give it a bit more space. There we go.
I don't know.
Quite a big beard. It's quite a big beard.
It is.
There we go. Anna, over to you.
I totally agree with Dan, sort of what the sort of setup they're doing. And I mean, I think Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, but like Elizabeth Olsen in this series, my God. I mean, I've always known that she's like an amazing actress. She's done other pieces separate from the MCU where she's been a real powerhouse. But I think this one, she just like really took my breath away. Like there were so many instances of like my favorite episode was the kind of life recap, the previously on, where we kind of go through her story and her kind of like acting out her reactions to these huge traumatic events in her life. It was absolutely incredible and absolutely heartbreaking. And I think Dan's right. They're setting her up to kind of be, the main antagonist going forward. And I think that's going to work so well, because I think what we've seen is the absolute best kind of villains that have ever come out of the MCU are ones, or anywhere really, are ones where you understand what is driving them. And this series was all about getting under the skin of Wanda. And, you know, we've seen her anger in Endgame, which she takes on Thanos, but we've never really seen her pain. And I mean, she's lost like everyone in this series really went into this, you know, her mother, her father, her brother, now Vision. I was really sad they didn't mention Black Widow, because I always feel like they had a real connection, especially when they fight together in Infinity War. And, you know, Black Widow has that great line of like, she's not alone. So I wish they had mentioned her. But so now we know, like, what kind of, what makes, like, what is driving Wanda, particularly if she's heard her son somewhere in the multiverse, and she's going to do whatever it takes to get her family back. Like, that's been established. And on the other side of that, the greatest villains we've seen, and I'm thinking in this one more like people like Joffrey or, you know, villains that have infinite power, but you don't know what their moral limit is. You never know, like, kind of what they're capable of, what they're going to do next. And I think she ticks that box as well. We don't know what Scarlet Witch is capable of. And I love that it's a mantle and a title and not just, you know, what she just got named, you know, like the way Mysterio got named from a mistranslation type thing. I think that was so smart. So yeah, so excited to see her.
So I want to pick up on two things that you both kind of said there. Given everything you said, do you think WandaVision is almost Wanda's origin story? Do you think that this series, because obviously like Phase One, it was very clear, this film is called Iron Man, and it's the origin of Iron Man. Captain America, the first Avenger, like they had very clear, like kind of monikered titles to say this is the first film where you're going to learn about this character. Do you think WandaVision, although a lot of the story was kind of told in retrospect, do you think this served as her origin story? Because I think going into it, I thought it was going to be a lot more around Wanda and Vision, but I think it became really clear later on in the series that it was very much a show about Wanda. And I just wondered if you thought that it served as her origin story, or whether you think it doesn't fit that bill.
I don't think it's her origin story. I think it's the almost like a bit of a multiverse origin story, or at least the start of that saga. I still think Ultron is her origin story, so to speak. Same with Pietro, the same with Vision, I guess. You know, Ultron is their origin, and that's why it was, you know, every episode at the end it pushes Age of Ultron on you, because I think that's still their origin. But I think it, really interestingly, you know, part tied into that Wanda's the antagonist thing, or theory at least, is, you know, one of the classic comic book tropes is good guy turns villain, or villain turns good and joins the gang, to the disgruntlement of others. And, you know, we've never seen that in, you know, 1920 movies, whatever. We've never really had the big switcheroo of someone being like, I'm evil now. The more that this goes on, the more confidence Marvel is getting with being similar to the comics. You know, 10 years ago, we talked about this whole thing where, but movies are different from comics, so they can't do like for like takes of comic books to, you know, frame for frame, panel for panel, whatever. We can't do that because it's a different medium and it requires a different treatment. And Marvel seems to be on this steamroller now where they're like, let's see how close to the comics we can get. You know, we've really got the trust of people to do weird new stuff and make it work. So, I think that's part of it, is probably it's not Wanda's origin story, but it is Scarlet Witch's origin story, and her turning antagonist on people.
So that leads me on to my other question, which was, I've had a few messages recently about people who have joined Disney Plus and they are watching the MCU for the first time. So my friend Josh got it over Christmas, and over the 2-week Christmas period,
great move. Smashed
through all of them. At Joshy
J. 10 out of 10 move.
At Joshy J on Instagram if you want to follow him. He doesn't post about Marvel. But I think...
Post about Marvel. Come on. Yeah. Post about Marvel. Come on, Josh. What are you doing?
I think what's interesting is, obviously, Disney are using WandaVision as a, you know, you see it on the side of buses, you see Instagram ads for it. They're using it as a reason to buy Disney Plus. So I asked Josh, as someone who's very new to the MCU, whether he really understood WandaVision.
This is a new segment.
But no, I wanted to get it, because obviously we live and breathe this stuff. We're right in there. But if you come to it kind of brand new, do you understand all the references? And he said that he missed a couple of the points in it. So he didn't realize that Maria Rambeau was the grown-up kid from Captain Marvel, and the whole Quicksilver replacement actor was completely lost on him. So he didn't quite get those big kind of gasp moments that we get. And I guess my question is, do you think that, because we're so far into the MCU now, do you think things like WandaVision can serve as a good introduction to a brand new audience to the MCU, or do you think we're too deep into it now?
I got lots of thoughts, but I've done a lot of talking, so Anna, you're first on this one.
So I think it's really interesting. Like, it's so hard for me to kind of separate my Marvel brain and kind of seeing this as a newcomer. My hope and the thing I think that was really smart here was sort of taking two characters that are essentially, they have been kind of like B-list characters up until now, like Wanda and Vision. They've, you know, been a part of the gang. And in previous movies, you would have seen a little bit about their powers and origins. But like, I think the way this show was set up, you don't necessarily need any of the previous movies to understand Wanda and Vision's point in this TV series. And I think my hope would be that people would be like, okay, this is like, you know, a fun, big production. I love like superhero magic type stuff. So let's watch this. And I think you could enjoy this as like a standalone piece. And what I would hope it would do would pique your interest to kind of then go back and like learn a bit more. I don't know. I think I would, like Tom asked me if I thought he would like this. And so my husband, he's someone who's kind of dipped in and out of Marvel with me. If I don't have anyone to go to the cinema with, I drag him along.
He's been on our Christmas special.
He's been on the Christmas special. And he asked me like, he's like, do you think I would like this? And I said, no, because there wasn't enough for someone who I don't think isn't even like you. I think you do have to be a little bit entrenched into Marvel to kind of really enjoy this. I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
I think it's once again with comics, they all the time do these jumping on points. So, you know, Marvel have this, and comic books in general, Marvel, DC both do this. It's like, new issue one. It's like, hey, what do you mean, issue one? This Spider-Man's been running for 860, 70 issues now. What are you on about? It has the legacy number in there. You know, this is actually issue 860 or whatever. But, you know, this is a new number one. This is your jumping on point. And then they number that series separately. So there's lots of new opportunities for, say, hey, I want to get in Spider-Man, but I don't want to read 8,000 billion issues. Here's where I can jump on. And I think this is that, you know, they're pitching this is your new jumping on point. Have you missed the MCU before? Now's the time to get in on it. You know, as you said with the Disney Plus adverts, I think it's they're clearly doing that. I think having a year and a bit's break from the MCU has been actually really good for them. You know, it's given everyone time to do Endgame and have the epilogue in Spider-Man Far From Home and go through all the motions of just rewatching the whole MCU and getting it out of your system and then be like, right, I want something new, different. And this has, because of that extra gap, it's got less expectations to be like what we've seen before, right? So I think now is a great jumping on point. I know so many people who have jumped on as a result of this and been like, I've never watched MCU, but can I watch WandaVision? I've been like, yeah, watch WandaVision. and then be like, all right, can I have like a quick list to get through the MCU? Okay, yeah, you can have a quick list through the MCU. The last people who I gave a quick list to get through the MCU in time for Endgame, they are now watching the whole thing in chronological order. And they're at like Civil War.
I hope they're listening to the podcast as like a companion piece. I hope
but they're probably sick of my voice anyway. So I'll do an edit out version where it's just you guys.
I think that's interesting to hear kind of both sides of the coin. I think I sit somewhere in the middle, and I think what WandaVision did quite well in the first few episodes is that you could just enjoy those episodes as kind of parodies of the, and it had a little bit more mystery in every single time that you watched it. And I think that was quite a good way of easing in those people in the same way that we eased in the concept of magic in the MCU overall. You know, we really took our time with it. And I thought that was really smart that it kind of, you know, the last few episodes, there wasn't really any sitcom-ness.
It was a little slow. Episode 4 came at the right time. I knew a few people going, I'm not sure I'm completely sold on this. But episode 4, where it's suddenly you see the other side, the outside world and everything, then you're like, okay, right, I'm in now. I'm on it.
So how, in terms of reference points, how many of those sitcoms had you either seen or kind of known the language of? Did you, I mean, I don't know if it was more of, I understood all of them, but I don't know whether it was more of a, like an American.
How cultured.
I think it might just be, I don't know, we grew up with more like American TV in our house. I don't know. And we watch Modern Family a lot, so we kind of got that as well.
So for me, I mean, those first few, those remain kind of like true reference points and kind of like Americana culture, like the Dick Van Dyke's show, like the Andy Griffith's show, these sort of black and white, picture perfect Americana, Donna Reed, like these are things that like still get referenced like a lot in America. And it's sort of, it's like the Norman Rockwell, the best that America can be in an all white neighborhood with, you know, upper middle class family, you know, it's the whitest of the whitewashed American 1950s time, but it is a real cultural touchstone. So yeah, I definitely picked up on all of it. I mean, I can remember watching like the Andy Griffith show, as like reruns, like a small child and everything. And I loved, like Wanda's family, like sitting down and watching these. And cause like I actually have a cousin in Germany who she learned English through watching Friends. So that tradition of like watching American TV shows and sitcoms and like internalizing that culture, like for when she was really young, she straight up thought like "how you doing" was like in a like a normal way of like introducing or talking to like someone.
Wait, it's not.
So I so love that, like that family piece of like that being you know their English language, their English lessons, the family connectivity, that sort of let's get around and watch a TV show together, and for the real reason as well of let's learn some English, nice English night. I loved it. I absolutely love that.
I think the ones for me that I really enjoyed were Malcolm in the Middle. I thought that was the great kind of 90s reference, especially like talking into camera. I thought they'd kind of run out of sitcoms, and I really enjoyed the Modern Family one because I was like, well, they can't do anything from like present day because there aren't any like great American sitcoms anymore. And then they did Modern Family, and I was like, oh, actually.
Which was the Modern Family one? Is it the same one as the one that was The Office, where they're doing a lot of talking to camera?
Yeah, and
it's sort of a melding.
It was the Agatha All Along episode, which kind of rubbish on it. Yeah. I think the only one that I perhaps would have liked, I guess there was a bit of a jump from them like being young lovebirds to then having a family. I think a kind of a coffee shop based Friends parody would have been really, really good fun to watch, even if for like half an episode or something like that. That's the only kind of one that I felt like maybe they skipped. But I thought it was super smart. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I also found really interesting, so for the first time in what feels like a very long time to me, having to wait a week to watch the next episode was really intense. And I mean, to be fair, it's really helped with these like last month of lockdown to have something to look forward to every Friday. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think this is a series that actually benefits from that week breather, like having a week of a breather of a week in between each series, or do you think people would benefit more from like a binge watch of these?
No, I think Disney Plus have sat back and seen what every other streaming service has done, and then figured out how they can steal the world's attention. You know, releasing it weekly is now the perfect blend of on-demand content, but that still keeps conversation going for 10 weeks. You know, they will have marketeers sitting back and going, dumping the whole series at once, like Stranger Things, will get talked about for a week, two tops. And then people will have seen it all and they'll have moved on to the next thing. And our market attention, our search performance is a really short window. It's big but short. And Disney will have clearly just looked at that and gone, right, okay, so if we just release it weekly, like a normal TV show, but it's on demand and it's streaming and all this sort of stuff, then we'll keep that conversation for 10 weeks. And we'll, you know, this show, WandaVision and Mandalorian, are like the two shows that Disney Plus have released so far. And the buzz around those has been, it has eclipsed anything I can think of having come on Netflix for recent years. Because it's just gone on and people have theorized. I've got friends who talk to me on a Friday and go, have you seen this week's episode yet? And I'm like, it's fucking 9 a.m. What do you mean I've seen it yet?
It's usually my friends on furlough who are doing that.
And it's like, you know, good for you. I'll watch it at lunchtime or I'll watch it after work. I get straight on there. And it's, you know, they've really got that marketing control spot on, and just in time for the UK's 1 year renewal of
I know man, boy did they. And then like we don't have long to wait until talk about them later, but Falcon and Winter Soldier. But yeah, it was clever.
I think for me, I've really enjoyed it, especially because we are still in lockdown here in the UK, like having something after work on a Friday where I can crack open a beer and sit down with it has been such a joy. But I also think it does kind of speak to the fandoms as well, like Marvel fans, Star Wars fans, and also like Drag Race comes out every week as well. That's released weekly. They have these kind of fandoms that they know people will spend a week dissecting. They know will be recording podcast episodes, doing vlogs about it. I think it's, I'm not in that kind of world, but I don't imagine Stranger Things or some of those ones that are just kind of dumped on Netflix kind of have that same kind of fandom who kind of like to pick over the kind of every minute detail of each episode. I might be speaking out of turn here.
I think they could be if they were given more time to dissect it, you know. Mm. But instead, it's essentially like a 9-hour movie, and there's benefits of that. It's bingeable. That's what Netflix want you to do, is just binge after. Great, but I think Disney have got it spot on with this.
And I think that idea of a film being split up over episodes is really interesting, because that's what Kevin Feige has said that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to feel like. But I actually felt like the last episode of WandaVision, you came in the third act, like you came in the middle of like the major big fight scene. And it was quite, I found it quite strange, whereas because every other episode, you've kind of been eased in with these like nice little parodies of a different world, but this one you were straight in with like Vision fighting Vision and the witches fighting. It was like, oh god, we're in the final.
Yeah, can we talk about the final just a little bit? I mean, sorry, Martin, did you have sort of...
No, go ahead.
It's like, I've got to say, like, I love like the series, and I think you're right, the kind of like ease in, the kind of build up, like everything they did was so good. I'm not 100% sure. Like, I think they did everything they needed to do, and I felt like satisfied, but I don't entirely feel like the final episode like really stuck the landing. Like, I know it's in many ways it was meant to serve as like a jumping off platform for multiverse Marvel, you know, all these kind of other Captain Marvel, like all these other things that are coming up. But again, there were a few things about it that again felt a bit phase one, like the fact that they had like in two different battles you had just like the hero and the villain that were polar opposites of each other fighting each other, like, and that was stuff we saw like quite a few years ago, and I do feel like things have kind of moved on a little bit from then. I mean, I really like the twist of Wanda having captured Agatha in the box and everything. I thought that was really clever, but I don't know, there were a few things, and like Harkins like shooting at the kids and things like that, and I just felt like Monica got a little bit pushed aside. I don't know, how did everyone feel about like the finale itself as like a final?
I request
piece?
Elaboration.
Of the episode or of Anna?
I think that there's... I've seen a few people be disappointed or say, you know, said the words, bit of a disappointing ending. But, you know, it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's got a lot of parallels to Age of Ultron, which time has been so kind to that movie. You know, at the time, Age of Ultron, you were like, okay, the last Avengers movie was sick. What am I going to get out of this one? And then you see the Age of Ultron movie and it got, you know, criticized at the time for it's a jumping off point. It's not a conclusion like the last Avengers movie was. But now you look at that Age of Ultron movie, you go back and watch it and you go, how did they do all of this with this movie? They set up so many characters, so many new parts of the world. They set up your Wakandas. They set up your Vision and your Scarlet Witches. And they really did a lot for Tony and Hulk and Thor. And it's like, how did they jam all this into that movie? And you know, that set up the second part of MCU, which eventually culminated in Infinity War. And I kind of get the same vibe off of the end of this one. You know, I don't think we were ever going to get the end of a series and you're able to go, ah, everyone's happy, great, Vision and Wanda are back, and Spectrum's is cool. And, I think it's really piquing that intrigue so that viewers who are new or have taken a year off the MCU are coming back and going, where's Vision gone? What the hell is Scarlet Witch up to? Who is this new person that can absorb bullets? And, you know, when's Darcy going to show up again? I think, it's disappointing because it's not the culmination of a TV show, but it's exciting because it kicks off a new era of content, right? Which is great.
I slightly agree with Anna, I'm afraid, in that I appreciate the open-endedness and the fact that it fits in a part of a big
Is this
universe.
Now a debate club?
I think for me there was just some parts that I found a bit confusing about the last episode, particularly in the fight between Agatha and Wanda. I wasn't quite sure who I was meant to be rooting for, because they were building Wanda up to be this kind of big, bad, scary thing that we shouldn't kind of unleash. But then also, Agatha was so likable, I didn't really want her to...
strangling children.
What Wanda did to her, I felt quite cruel, I thought, rather than deserving of...
Do you think she might be back?
Oh, she'll definitely be back. Absolutely. Yeah.
She was good.
And I also thought Maria's conclusion was quite unsatisfying, because I think...
Maria.
I kind of wanted her to like step into her powers as well, and I know that that's like, you know, a little bite for what we're going to get in Captain Marvel 2, I kind of wanted her to like kick some butt at some point rather than just like sacrificing
herself.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
It just felt, and I think that's probably because Marvel fans love to pick over everything, and we thought that Reed Richards was going to come in at some point. We thought that Doctor Strange was going to turn up. You know, we put so many theories into it. It's like, is it ever going to live up to what we want it to be? Because it doesn't match our theory.
But that's part of that Disney marketing, is they've gone, the fans are going to sit back and obsess over this show week in, week out, and come up with a billion evolving theories. And it's going to do nothing but increase fandom, increase loyalty, increase, you know, that's really what they've hooked onto with this show. It's insane. It's like, from a marketing perspective, it's genius. Who'd have thought that TV shows released weekly would, you know, it's like
we've come
full circle, and this is what we wanted all along.
I think I definitely get what you're saying as well, Dan, about how and I think also that like the show was so great. I think the finale was a good episode in a great series, like, so it was, you know. And I think also with Monica, because I think she had such an amazing introduction, like that. I think that was my favorite. That might be my favorite episode, is like right after the recap one, where, you know, starts with people coming back from the blip and getting introduced to her in that chaotic hospital and realizing she's lost her mom during this time.
Have you seen the video of it synced up real time with the glove? So it's got side by side the Hulk and then the hospital, and Hulk does the snap to bring everyone back, and real time what happens there with the holes and the fighting and everything, and that scene lined up. It's pretty cool. Search it out. Give that a YouTube. That. It's really cool.
Definitely. But I love that, and I thought that her and I think I was kind of expecting there to be a bit more of a connection between Monica and Wanda, because like one of the theories that I've been working on, because the fact that like Monica was able to walk into Westview through the hex field, I thought that maybe Wanda was drawing people, the town was populated with people who had experienced extreme grief or loss. I hadn't realized towards the end that it was just, you know, the people that live there, which makes more sense when you think about it. It's a little bit more practical. But I felt like maybe their final discussion at the end was just like a little bit, I felt like in some ways there was a bit of a mirror happening between the two of them, and like how you handle grief. And like Monica, she went back to work, like, you know, maybe a bit too soon. Like maybe that was a bit ill-advised, and she was obviously being a bit reckless. And I think that, you know, like, I'm just going to power through this hex field and everything. And I do feel like that was maybe a bit powered by grief. So I was hoping for again, just because Monica was such a cool character, and I'm so excited to see more of her, which was obviously the point, but I think that final interaction between the two of them was a bit lacking. I think particularly because I do think that Wanda's goodbye to her family and to Vision was very well done and very moving and so heartrending. So it was a little bit sad that Monica, I felt, kind of got just sort of like shuffled off a little bit, which is a bit disappointing.
Mm. I know you wanted to talk about kind of grief and death in the MCU. Do you want to keep pulling at that very sad thread?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that sort of touched on the kind of main points there already. Like, I think it was such a smart thread, and it kind of, like, you know, it kept popping up here and there in kind of more poignant ways, like when the dog dies and the twins try to grow up, and Wanda stops them saying, like, don't, you know, don't run away from this. And I kind of like this idea of, like, the twins, like, I'm hurting him in pain, I'm gonna grow up, maybe with this mistaken idea that, like, an adult version of me would be able to handle this pain better, whereas the adults around them are doing a terrible job of handling grief and pain. So I thought those kinds of things were just really great. And of course, the line that's already been, you know, spawned 1,000 overly heartfelt memes and everything on the internet, but that line of, like, what is grief but love persevering, I thought was just such a nice thing, right, to sort of carry through. And
that'll be on a 1,000 crocheted wall hangings by the end of the week. Stat! Million. I want a thousand signs for above people's doors now.
So I think it was, yeah. I really liked how that this idea of grief and how we handle grief and kind of it being like a driving force for a lot of the decisions that were made on this show, I thought was really good. Yeah, and I was impressed, really impressed. Like, that's such an adult theme to have in, like, essentially a superhero TV show. And it was great.
And speaking of people who are dead, how do you feel about Pietro Maximoff's return in another guise, in another actor?
I mean, when that happened, when the door opened and it was him, like, I've been so careful about avoiding spoilers, been staying off Twitter, like, so I had no idea it was coming. Like, my mind was blown. And of course, it just, like, million different, like, fan theories just, like, swirling around my living room. I loved it. I think, like, the next episode he was in was great. I'm choosing just to trust Marvel because I cannot believe it was all in service of a boner joke. Like, surely boner. There's got to be. I mean, come on! Like, he looks just like him. There's.
What do you mean? He is him. He looks. You know, they got the same actor, Anna.
I know. But, like, you know, I mean,
I can't believe it.
Did anyone
this guy
else
looks exactly like Hugh Jackman? How is it not Wolverine?
Did anyone else have to do a lot of explaining to their friends about the Sony Marvel Disney buyout? Because that God.
Which maybe explains exactly why it was an Easter egg and it wasn't the introduction of the XCU into the MCU. You know, I think great super fans would love it, but, you know, and not to condescend to your everyday Marvel person, but they would have to put a trailer before the film being like, so you're aware, in 2019, Marvel and Disney acquired Fox Entertainment. And I think for that reason, that's probably... And as well, I was thinking about this after it turned out to be a boner joke, was they've sort of... With the XCU, if they go, right, we're merging these two now, they've sort of shot their wad with the XCU. You know, like, Hugh Jackman was the greatest Wolverine ever. We've argued the greatest superhero ever, right, on screen, right? We've had this discussion.
Yeah. Go back and listen to our Wolverine series.
and, you know, they're not going to get Hugh Jackman back. Mm. And they're not going to get Patrick Stewart back, and the new First Class bunch are pretty crap. So, you know, really, if they're going to bring the mutants in, they probably need to start from scratch, right? And probably they'll take their time and do it in a way that is less needing of 5 hours overhead of the history of contract negotiations between movie studios, right? It just it makes sense. It's if it happens and I'm wrong, I've eaten my hat about eating my hat. I haven't eaten any hats, but I've had to take back my theories on WandaVision. You know, fine if I'm wrong and they do introduce Hugh Jackman and the likes, but can you see it? Can you suddenly see him strolling into shot and being like,
I hope not. You know,
especially now you've got like your Steve Rogers is gone. Don't feel right.
Yeah.
And were you waiting for a Reed Richards appearance?
Yeah.
Because our WhatsApp group was full of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But I went all in on Fantastic Four. Like
Always go all in on Fantastic Four.
either Fantastic Four or Secret Avengers. It's always leading to one of those two albums.
God. I mean, he got the Secret Avengers more or less right. But again, if you go back and listen to like past pods, Fantastic Four have come up as a theory a few times and it hasn't paid off yet.
Well, the discussion I had was there's this Agatha theory, and there's the Agatha is trying to use the different types of magic to bring Mephisto into the world, blah, 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 theory. Nonsense. And then there was the Reed Richards Fantastic Four theory. And I sort of said, look, they're going to do one or the other here. They're not going to try get all of this into a TV show. It's either going to be the Agatha thing or it's going to be the Fantastic Four thing. And I, you know, bet on the Fantastic Four thing. I thought that it had been, I thought they'd done more references to it. I thought that they had foreshadowed it a lot more. The Agatha thing, even the episode before it had happened, I was like, the only foreshadowing for this has been on the internet. There has been few direct references in the show to Agatha being all along. And then when it happened, as soon as it happened, I was like, well, I'm wrong. Fair enough. And I still stand by the reasons why I went Reed Richards. They didn't foreshadow Agatha whatsoever. They red herringed the hell out of... I feel like the red herring was designed for me. Kevin.
So have they actually closed the door on it? Because I don't think we actually met the aerospace engineer that Monica was referring to. And like the car thing, like that, like they made all this chat about like, oh, it's for protecting against like cosmic radiation. Well, I mean, to be fair, they never seem to crack that.
I thought that stretchy man would have been driving that thing when it came out of the trailer.
Yeah. And he comes out. Yeah. Hi, it's me, John Krasinski.
But he just flies from under the door of it rather than opening the door.
Well, there was a few theories, wasn't there? There was one: are the Fantastic Four, rather than being out of space, are they going to get their powers by trying to penetrate this wall?
Yeah.
There was, they already have their powers, and the reason that they have that they're now working on products is that S.W.O.R.D. are trying to keep the huge disaster that caused them to get their powers under wraps. It's still possible. And I think it's still heavily likely that that is the link to the Fantastic Four, but they just red herringed me.
But on the subject of red herrings and duping Dan, which could be a new segment.
Maybe it'll get so popular that the MCU actively tries to dupe me. We'll be probably extremely successful at doing so, given their current track record, and they're not even trying.
But I think one of the other things that I think is probably quite internet and social media led, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the only thing that we know about the multiverse is that there is a Doctor Strange film coming up called The Multiverse of Madness, and we know that Wanda / Scarlet Witch is going to be in it. Is there any reference in WandaVision does the multiverse make an appearance in WandaVision, I guess is my question. And the point at which I thought it had was when you went down into the basement with Agatha and she had all those doors. I thought there were going to be doors into different dimensions and multiverses, but actually what it was doors into kind of Wanda's past. So, you know, we're talking about WandaVision kind of starting phase four or starting the multiverse phase. Is there actually a reference to it throughout the 8 episodes, or are we adding that in?
Interesting. So obviously we got the multiverse fake out in Far From Home, where Mysterio was lying about coming from a multiverse. So I would think that's the only time where like the word multiverse has been used explicitly in any kind of Marvel content. I think the only thing that maybe has now maybe tipped, like that would be an easy entrance into it, is at the very, very end when we hear Wanda's kid yell out to her. He's calling from somewhere. But in terms of like, I think like, so for Doctor Strange, we've kind of, and from Ant-Man, we've got like, you know, those ethereal realms. We've got like the quantum realm. There's been always a lot of chat about what realms. So I think they've done a good job of kind of like expanding our mind to be open to the idea of a multiverse when they do intro it. But yeah, as far as I know, I don't think there's ever, and I don't think in WandaVision they were expressly like the Scarlet Witch has access to the multiverse or anything like that. It's just been very chaos magic type stuff. So yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
All in our minds.
So they've done it. They've, you know, they've seeded it. And Kevin Feige confirmed that it is the multiverse saga, you know. So who knows?
Yeah, but I think unless you're watching Kevin Feige's like company announcements, it's, you know, you're not in that world, are you, if you're like a regular Disney Plus viewer.
And to be fair, I've become increasingly committed to trying to not absorb as much of that as I can. Like, sometimes it is unavoidable. But yeah, sort of, I haven't been paying as close, like, you know, obviously I've got like the timeline, you know, in big beautiful colors of like all the various things that are coming out, so I know what's on the horizon. And you know, I like dipping into like the Reddit speculation and things like that, but because otherwise it's just gonna be too hard, because I've never read House of M, I've never read like the Maximoff twins, were, I only kind of ever knew about them peripherally of kind of like other comics that I've read, and they were never my favorite characters. And so I've never really delved into their story, and I'm trying to avoid doing the same kind of before the other stuff comes out, because I've come to really trust Marvel, and I like the way they handle stories. So yeah, and I've only ever disappointed myself when I come up with like elaborate like theories and predictions. So yeah.
But that's the fun. the fun of being right, of being wrong, of, you know, you take the chances, but...
But how do you know if being right feels fun? Because you're never right.
Well, I think the whole thing is fun, right? You know,
yeah.
Chatting about it, what could happen, the possibilities, and then... Yeah. You know, Thanos comes down and ends the world, right?
Yeah. Sorry,
go on, Martin.
I was going to say, I actually do really like how we continue to reference the impact of Thanos. Like, you know, it's not just that villain was defeated and therefore we're putting that story out to bed. Like, we continually refer back to it, and we get to experience as the films and the TV shows go on, how it impacted this character over here, what these people were doing when it happened, the kind of psychological impact of people over here. And I think we'll get that, you know, I think obviously we've got Falcon and Winter Soldier next, and I think they will also have, you know, changes in their character because of what they, you know, because they're both quite what I call like civilian superheroes. So they might have a very different perspective to someone like Scarlet Witch, who's kind of invincible pretty much.
Oh, come on, let's go through what's coming up.
Well, I was going to say,
do you guys have anything else you want to touch on WandaVision before we...
I don't think there will be. I kind of hope I mean, if there is, I would think it would come well after the kind of like next big allotment of Marvel movies.
I don't think we're getting them. I don't think we're getting season twos with these. I think it is that movie over, you know, 9-10 episodes.
I think it works best that way. Yeah. So the only last thing I want to say about WandaVision is I love, 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 love her new outfit. Like,
oh, so what good.
An amazing job of translating that Scarlet Witch costume into what she appears as. Oh,
Did anybody else get like Vision cape vibes from the fabric. I thought her the print of her kind of outfit really mirrored his kind of cape and the kind of circuitry sort of aesthetic. Yeah. I wondered if it was kind of a nod to him.
Okay. And what about the final? Then we aren't discussed White Vision at all as well.
Oh.
Yeah, just when you thought the MCU was getting diverse, we do kind of an Aryan all white presentation of Vision.
I mean, I can he change color? He can change his physical appearance. Hmm. Can he change his coloring? Would be one.
Presumably, yeah. You would certainly think. I mean, I don't think we know enough about this White Vision. Yeah, I mean, I.
And where's he going to show up?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he is very much a kind of foot in the door to keep the character of Vision around, really. So we know for a fact that we're not losing Paul Bettany and Vision in the future. So, which is great. I love him.
Because if one of the main things to come out of this is how incredible Paul Bettany is.
So we have barely talked about it. He was amazing. And talk about commitment. Like, oh, I know we talked about it in the WhatsApp group and sent around photos, but like his willingness to get like be dressed up as villain dressed up as Vision and then also be like in a turkey costume and also be in like an Easter bunny costume and like the photos of like little baby Vision and everything. Oh my god, it was amazing.
Did you see the thing where they built a mini sauna on set to help his skin like recover from having to take the makeup off every time? So they have like a mini like Swedish sauna.
That will now be on my requirements for future podcasts.
That's one hell of a rider. I don't blame him though. Like my god, like it was. I mean, it must have been such a relief.
Have you seen
the
one of him taking
skin
off?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He takes the red skin off.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
Okay, so future MCU, and I've got a challenge for you guys. Because I think whenever we talk about the future MCU, we go big. And Kevin Feige talks about everything. I want us to only talk about things that are coming out this year. Because I think that kind of puts a stop to some of the kind of bigger pieces. Oh. So stuff come out this year. Next thing we've got to enjoy in 2 weeks. Comes out 2 weeks.
Well, we've got making of WandaVision next Friday.
Oh. Yeah, I totally gotta watch that.
So we've got the making of.
And then we've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Cheers and booze. Yeah.
Boo, wait, I said boo in a happy way. Cheers, yay!
So excited. I mean, I cannot tell you how excited I am. I'm so excited.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, this looks like it's maybe going to be a little bit pedestrian, as you said, you know. But the closer it gets, the more I am excited.
You know, I was looking forward to Falcon and Winter Soldier more than I was WandaVision.
Really?
But now knowing how good WandaVision is, I'm even more excited for Falcon.
The standard has been set extremely high.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to deliver. It looks so good.
Yeah. And they have the most amazing chemistry. Like even like early on, like that relationship was one that people were already really enjoying. Can you move your seat up? No.
Have you seen the side by side of the Winter Soldier trailer with the Fast and Furious 8 trailer or the Hobbs and Shaw trailer, and they are like shot for shot identical? It's insane. Like, that's genuinely funny. I'll send you a link.
I'll tell you what you could do, Dan. You've mentioned quite a few like YouTubey things. Send it on a list. We'll put them in the Instagram stories so people can
put them on WhatsApp I will feed them to our fans.
So our first film of 2021 is Black Widow coming out in May. We finally get to watch that. How do we feel?
Finally. I was so... Yeah. I mean, obviously, I need to get pushed back because that's one I only want to see in the cinema. I was so looking forward to going into the cinema, 8 months pregnant, watching that movie. I want to see it so bad. I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
I just worry that it's going to feel out of place now, but I think they must clearly be confident that it isn't.
Yeah.
I think it'll be okay. Yeah. As long as, like, I don't know, Scarlet Witch isn't in it in a 1950s outfit. I'm a bit of a
They must be confident. They must be really confident that it is a movie that will stand alone by itself.
Yeah. And it definitely benefits from being like a prequel.
We've got Loki in June coming up.
Yeah. so excited. There was references to Loki in this, in WandaVision, with Nexus. Super excited. I think that is going to be probably, I think we will look back on that as the TV show of the year.
Totally. Wow. I think the trailer looks amazing. And the trailer looks so good. I'm really excited. And
Tom, you know, Loki's fucking brilliant.
We've got Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
No idea what to expect with that. None. No idea. Do you know that story, Dan? Do you know the Ten Rings and all that?
Can't. I genuinely can't. Really. Is it? Shang-Chi is one of these who like has suddenly started appearing in the Avengers comic, and it's like, oh right, so now you're being, you know, presented to me in the Avengers comics. We've not really had this merge over for you know as long as I've been reading comics, and they do that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to something totally out of left field. You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, what the F when they like first started showing that. So yeah, I'm here for it.
But we got some links there with Iron Man 3, with the Mandarin and the Ten Rings. So you know. Yeah.
I think we haven't had a, and it won't be completely standalone because it's in the MCU, but I'm quite interested for a brand new world, a brand new cast, a brand new kind of, you know, ability to tell stories in a different way. I think that's going to be really exciting. I think we've had that. When was the last time Captain Marvel? No, it's probably Black Panther, maybe?
Yeah.
Black Panther Avengers. Was like a whole new world, you know, shown to us.
So that's quite exciting, I think.
I have got it on my list to do some reading, you know, to maybe pick up some classic runs or something beforehand. But, you know, from what I understand, there isn't a huge amount out there. There is plenty, more certainly than there was for the Guardians, but, you know. Yeah. I'll be more well versed when it comes to it. I'll be able to go, they completely destroyed this dude. What is that?
We've got Eternals in November, which is like to insane. Say it's got such a huge cast, and it's like, you know, it will become one of those kind of, you know, it will be kind of an Infinity War and Endgame level kind of cinematic event. And it's like, I'm just so surprised we don't know more about it.
I know.
It's insane that there's less buzz about it as well.
Yeah. I'm so excited, though. I'm so excited for it to come out, for Tom to, like, start getting mistaken for Richard Madden again.
I think there is something here that Disney have not been hyping that because there is something we need to know first, which we would have known by now had everything followed its normal release schedule. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that movie is, like, you know, not that far away. It's going to be like a blockbuster.
Yeah. You would think
it's
that
freaking Angelina Jolie. Yeah,
any film with Angelina Jolie, you'd be like, you'd be on the comms, wouldn't you? Yeah. Like telling people, it is quite strange. Mm.
There's something we don't know, and I think the same for Shang-Chi as well. There is something that we don't know yet that we need to know to be able to get a sneak preview.
But then where would that come from? Because you've only really got Black Widow.
But you get teaser trailers. Oh, you mean where would it come from? Like not the content, but the where would that? Well, we don't know. You know, there might be something that is in Black Widow that alludes to Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Something about the Ten Rings. There might be something in Loki that starts to uncover, you know, why the Eternals are suddenly an important. There might be backstory there about the Eternals or something.
I think Dan's right. Given the fact that it was supposed to come out in November. Like, it was supposed to be out by now. And the fact that we've heard nothing, I think definitely...
Not even like a promo image, you know?
Yeah, there hasn't even been an official promo. There's, like, a few really nice fan-made ones. I think Dan's right. There's something there that's holding them back.
You'll see. You'll all see. I'll be right on this one.
And then our final release of the year is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Isn't there some TV shows in here that are not... You Loki's not the last TV show.
Yeah, last TV show of the year.
So what If was supposed to come out this summer, but I don't think it is anymore.
No, that's been pushed back.
Yeah. And then Hawkeye was supposed to come out this fall, but it's not anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's why I wanted to kind of stop this conversation on this year, because I think it's so easy to get excited about all the stuff that's coming up, but we're not going to see some of it for like 18 months.
Has Hawkeye been pushed back as well?
Really, I mean, in terms of new TV shows this year, we've got Falcon the Winter Soldier and Loki.
I don't believe it. You're crushing my heart. I'm so excited for Hawkeye. Are you kidding me?
Got a while for that one. But, oh, man. So, and are we going to do like little special episodes after those? Those aren't too many to commit to.
Let's take it away and let's figure it out.
I think it all depends on the amount of Instagram DMs we get.
Yeah. So true. Yeah.
So if really you can find
one DM equals one show.
So on that note, do we have anything else that we want to cover about what's coming up, what happened in WandaVision? I think for me, it is mainly, it reminded me of the joy that Marvel gives me. And to have something for 2 months to look forward to on a Friday evening was a joy. I really enjoyed it.
Mm. Totally. I completely agree. It really just brought back so many like other memories of as well, just sort of like watching it with friends and family and the pod and everything. And also, but I do think Dan's right. Like this, I think this gap has actually been incredibly beneficial. Like it's been heartbreaking, you know, with all the stuff that we were looking forward to, but actually it's given me a whole new appreciation, having a bit of a breather and remembering how great these movies are and that we've got so many fun things to come, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the ambition of something new from Marvel every week is crazy. Yeah. And I'm here for it. You know, this week I've got to go to the cinema because it's a movie, but for the next 10 weeks, I'll just do it from my couch is a dream scenario. And, you know, we're heading into the long-awaited era of, you know, guaranteed 3 Marvel movies a year. You know, 3 or 4 TV shows a year. If you want to get into Marvel, and I said this, if you want to get in, now is the time to get in because the longer you wait, the more you'll have to watch to catch up on, right? You know, and there's still less hours in the MCU than there is in the whole of Breaking Bad. So you can choose to watch 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, or you can get up to date with the MCU, and one of them is going to continue to serve you for years, and both have Bryan Cranston in. So you know. Just don't worry about it.
Right, are we any more for any more? I can't remember how you finish off the podcast. It's been so long. What do I usually do? Just say.
Well, I think that brings us to an end for today. Remember to go like, subscribe. If you want to follow us on Instagram, Anna, what's the handle?
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
A Marvelous Lunch Break. Please remember DM us. Ask me questions. We'll be back next time for more of this, or maybe less of this. Who knows?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, wherever you are. Stay safe. Stay happy. And if you're growing superpowers, don't speak to any agencies beginning with S or H. They are untrustworthy, and you should avoid them at all costs. Keep the powers to yourself. And also
keep an eye out for interfering nosy neighbours, because they will inevitably be witches from the 19th century.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Martin, if people want to find you?
You can find me at Martin Loves. There are lots of pictures of Dylan the cat to enjoy.
Oof.
Dan, where can people find you?
I don't want to say people can't find me. Please don't come find me. However, I am not on social media. But you can find me at A Marvelous Lunch Break, I guess. Excellent. You know, send fan mail to my PO box. Thank you.
And Anna, where can people find you? So I want to see
I'm
the new baby.
On Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
Mm. Well, that's been lovely. We'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.